Blog Talk Radio. The Egg.
Welcome to the Care to Read Show. I'm glad that you're able to join us this evening. You have your Omiinka 7 live in the studio coming to you straight from my living room. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to a new show under Care to Read. We are now extended to approximately 90 minutes with an additional 60 minutes remaining. Once we'd like to say to you that you've been grateful in joining us and staying with the path, and we decided to open up the airways to break down the time to give you more time in the area of Omiinka's Chronicles. The Chronicles of Omiinka needs to be extended. It should be a time that's a little bit more lengthier, and we are going to be adding some other segments during that 90-minute broadcast. We'd like for you to bear with us, of course. We were testing out the program for the last 2 days. Omi did a complete full program and went back to play the program back and could not hear any of my recording. So I want to give a shout-out to the Walmart Schererville location, Schererville, Indiana, for being so gracious to help a non-technical person out with her mouthpiece, earphones, the whole apparatus, and spending the time with me, the actual clerks there and the specialists in the technology department were very gracious in working with me until they got me the proper headset. So I want to give a shout out to Walmart, located in Schererville, Indiana. I want to say thank you, crew, for helping Omi and the tribe come up with the proper technology to make my show professional. Ladies and gentlemen, as you notice, I wasn't on Wednesday, but when you played the tape, it gave you the whole tape without Omi, along with all the commercials. You're probably wondering, what in the world is going on with Omi? Well, I had to remove that show, but nevertheless, I'm still going to bring it to you hard and heavy. And Thursday, with the technology not working, I want to tell you that it is my apologies that I have to make it up to you. Nevertheless, I am going to bring those same topics, the renter's rights, foreclosures guide, understanding foreclosure guide. And we had a fabulous show that day. I hate that it didn't air properly. But nevertheless, if whatever is intended to be, it will happen today. Now, once of all, I want to thank you, youngsters, for listening to the show. I know you've been pretty busy out there getting ready for your finals in college, getting ready for the prom. I know. I see you out there getting those tux and those after five gowns. So I want to thank you for taking the time to be able to listen to our show. We're still working with knowledge is power. Throw your hand up in the air and say, knowledge is power. And I want to send three shouts out into the atmosphere for Harambe, because I know they're keeping on with the keep on. Harambe, I say Harambe. 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 Keep on with the keep on. Keep on pushing on, Delani Amon, the president of Harambe. Ladies and gentlemen, because our show is becoming so popular, I do believe people are monitoring what we're doing and what we're talking about. Whatever Omi's doing, people want to follow the leader. I say keep on following me, and especially to my crew who has been following me. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for following me, checking up on what I'm doing. Some of you know that I've been busy working with Borders, trying to get their sales up, trying to increase the marketability of teachers making purchases. And now Omi is the featured storyteller for Storytelling Hour at the Borders Bookstore in Schererville. I'll be featured out there on the 21st. For those of you youngsters who like to come out, come out and hear Omi do the special topic on poetry by the gentleman named Mr. Sylvan. I will be reading most of his work. So if you didn't come last time, you definitely want to make May 21st segment, and that's at 1 o'clock p.m. Now, let me go on to tell you what today's segment is, and we're going to slow it down a little bit. First of all, I want to stop and do a meditation, because I have a lot to be grateful for. I don't need to move as fast as I used to because the time was right up on me. I have a whole 90 minutes. What are you going to say about that? What are you going to do with your Omi? I guess you're going to put your Omi in the middle with a tittle. So you're going to let me do my thing. Thank you. Let me take my time. Let's take deep breaths, breathing in, relaxing ourselves, bringing ourselves back down to a minimum, so we can breathe. Breathe with me now. I will connect my vital signs with yours as you take deep breaths, slowing down the pace so our energy level can come down. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be able to spend more time in the Care to Read room with the 90 minutes. We're going to spend more time on the Talking Cure and now Omi's Chronicles, or Garth's Chronicles, whichever one comes first. I am Garth, and I'm also Omi. So we are going to break this time up appropriately. We're going to ask you to light up those phone lines. We're going to do more time with marketing this program. If you haven't locked in your phone number, lock the dial in at 646-478-0101. 0270. Lock it in, Lil G. Go ahead on, Lil G. And keep it right there. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Let me take this train ride out of here. And I got to call my train men and bring him up in here so we can take this train out. Just hold on with me for a minute. Come on down here, train. I'm ready. Got to take a break. I'll be right back at you. All right. They're here. I'll take five. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back with you in a second. Got to take a train ride out for us. I'll be back in a little bit. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back in the atmosphere. I want to borrow your airways, and I will give them back to you in approximately 90 minutes. That's a whole lot of time for Omi to be working with. Please trust me. Trust me. I'm going to do the right thing with your time, and I'll give your airways back to you unmolested. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to invite you into the Chronicles of Garth. This particular segment of the show will feature a number of different topics to talk about. But as you know, our main feature topic here today is knowledge is power. Say that with me. Knowledge is power. As you know, we are featured by Project 2019. Our whole soul mission is to close the gap of disparity and close the gap of African Americans obtaining a higher level of education. It doesn't matter if you enroll in a one-year certificate program and then matriculate to a two-year associate, and even if you want to go on to a baccalaureate degree and then finally become a master of all masters with that additional postgraduate degree and then matriculating up to a PhD. We don't care. Just do the doggone thing. Get prepared to put your educational package together. What does that mean on me? I just can't walk up into no schoolhouse and say, I'm ready to go back to school. Somebody might look at you like you done lost your ever-loving mind. Which school? Where did you get your degree? Where's your transcript? Did you have your high school diploma or did you get your GED? All kinds of questions that sometimes we're just not ready for. So, Omi decided to put together a special program for you. That's right. It's coming soon that will cover all of your questions about entering school all the way down to how do I find the funds and the free money, of course, in a Pell Grant to go back to school to get my education? Well, Omi's going to show you, along with a few of my friends, how to get in position for pre-college school as well as the pre-college summer programs and then on to enroll in the traditional colleges. Now, what's the difference between a college and a university, you say, Omi? Just wait till the next segment. In June, we're going to do everything we can to get you ready and prepared for the fall. Oh, yes, we are. Oh, yes, we are. Because why would we tell you that knowledge is power and not show you how to get some? Our main feature in Project 2019 is to close the gap of African Americans who obtain credential. We know that we're the lowest on the totem pole for acquiring higher academics of degrees. We want to close that gap by the year of 2019 and get as many African Americans enrolled in college and, hopefully degreed and ready to go on to get that four-year, be it a master's or what have you. So we're not going to just talk a good game, but we're going to help you. Right now, we've been featuring Pro Se. Say it with me, Pro Se. When you decide that you want to collect the documents to represent yourself in a court of law. Now, last week or earlier this week, we had prepared for you the renter's right. Now, I'm going to ask my higher self to let me do better than what I did on Wednesday and bring a better message to you and a more in-depth message. Would you believe the one I gave before was awesome? We thought, but you never got to hear it. So I'm going to bring it back to you, and I apologize for that. Nevertheless, what has to happen is happening currently now. Whatever we missed the other day, it must not have been for us. What God has ordained, he will always sustain. So he's sustaining this moment for you right now. As we talk about the rights of a renter, and we're going to bring it back to you and talk to you about foreclosures, and we're going to postpone the small claims because that's a more lengthier one, and we want to save the amount of time to give you that full 90 minutes for that one. So as I was typing, I had typed up, we're going to reorder that particular segment, the small claims segment, for a later date. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I want to tell you is that you do have rights. I don't care what nobody tell you. I want you to know you have rights in your apartment, in your house, whatever you decided to sign a contract for, either it be your apartment or your home or a lease agreement, you have rights. And so does the landlord. What I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that when you get a contract, you never, ever sign it until you take some time to sit down with an attorney to look over the contract, because you must have a meeting of the minds, meaning you must have an understanding. There are such things as verbal contracts as well as written contracts. But you being the novice and not having expertise in the area, you want to go get an attorney to take a look at your contract, because you might want to present a rider. You might want to write your own clauses, and you might want to include your own addendums. You can make addendums to the contract, and you can write clauses. And for those of you who have purchased homes, you know exactly what terminology I'm speaking of. These are the terms you hear frequently if you've bought property and you've had to go to the closing. And the title company asked you if you had a lawyer. More than likely, you should always come with a lawyer or have a lawyer at arm's length where you can reach him by phone. Preferably, I recommend that you reach that lawyer right there. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We have a phone call. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. Thank you. Welcome back, family. You're in the atmosphere. And we were just talking about renters' rights. I'd like to indicate we're focusing in on the contract. Whenever you decide to go out and get an apartment, the contract is very, very important, ladies and gentlemen. And you need to go out beforehand and find out about contract law and understand what is a binding agreement and determine what language in the contract you don't understand. Therefore, you must have an attorney. And this one you don't want to do a pro se on. You want to go and sit with your attorney, taking the contract, usually lease agreements. They can be given out before you sign it. And you can ask the landlord, may I take a copy of this lease to my attorney to review? At that particular point, your attorney takes some time to review it. Sometimes he charges you a fee. And more than likely, I don't think you'll find very much pro bono on this for him to just do all the studying and reading. But if you should inquire about if they will do a pro bono and read the contract, you might find some attorney out there. If not, pay the fee. It'll be well worth it. When you go into an agreement, you must understand that a lease agreement is binding. And if you don't like everything that is in the contract, you can ask the landlord to allow you to do an addendum. If he says no. Now, if you're in a commercial apartment complex where everyone's contract looks the same, but if you're purchasing a house that is being leased out, you might have some free way in writing the addendums to things you want done in the house. But you must adhere to the contract. Can a contract be canceled? Can it become null and void? You can sign a contract and they give you 3 days between the time you sign it to make a decision if you want to void it. Some things in a contract can make it null and void. And you want the attorney to point those things out. Because after you've signed a contract, you can also take him a contract and ask him to look over it. And if there are some flaws in the contract that will not make the contract sound, he can point them out and he can then tell you, the tenant, this contract is null and void. It does not stand up. Now, what do I mean stand up? Stand up in the court of law so that when the judge looks at the contract, it has to be sound. Both parties have to be served so that they understand that they had a meeting of the mind. There cannot be areas that are shades of gray that you haven't discussed or that are hidden from you. They must be visible. Therefore, the landlord is going to depend on you to go get an attorney, and he's going to ask you, do you agree with every aspect you sign off on? And if you sign off without understanding and having clarity, then you are holding the responsibility to what ignorance of the law is no excuse. Now, in the apartment rental agreement, you must also understand he's not necessarily going to tell you, or she's not going to tell you to go out and get homeowner's insurance. You got to know that on your own for your own protection in the event that the apartment is damaged. You must also understand that the landlord has rights too. And people, so many times young people go in saying they understand when they actually don't. And then when things don't go their way, they're ready to throw a fit and say, see what Mr. Landlord did to me. Landlords have gone through so many bashings and so much trouble from people who have not understood the contract. Now, when you go into this, take a neighbor, take a friend, take your mother, take a dog, take a cat, take a rat. Whatever you do, don't go alone, because two sets of eyes are usually better than one. And what you might not see, somebody else will see. Now, let me also say that when you go and get an apartment, apartments these days are requiring security deposit for water, trash pickup, electric, and sometimes sewer. So therefore, you're paying enough addendums like you're buying a house. Now, I know everybody don't need a write-off who's not making a lot of money, But for those of you who are making a lot of filthy lucre and you need some write-offs so that you can get a tax break, look at the options of buying your condo so that you can see where you can write off those large fees or get some type of incentive for your insurance. But you definitely don't want to just throw all your money to the wind. Now, you have rights and the landlord has rights, meaning that you come into agreement. But you don't have a right to destroy the landlord's property when you get mad at him. And you don't have the right to stop paying your monthly mortgage or your monthly rental fee just because you got mad at him. Now, if you had an agreement for him to fix something, it didn't say, I'll pay rent when you fix something. You have to continue to pay the rent. Then, if he's not meeting the criteria of repairs, then you take him to small claims court. That's when you decide on how to handle his inadequacy. But you keep consistently doing what you have promised to do, and that is to pay the rent, regardless of what else is going on. Late fees can accumulate. They have a right to charge you late fees if that's in the contract. Whatever's in the contract, they can endorse. You must understand that it's far easier to evict you, and to throw you out in an apartment in a short length of time, like in a week's time. You can be in and out of court, and you're out in the streets. So if you're going through all this for renters, why not even think about making a purchase where you have a write-off, and at the same time, if you own the property and you're going through some changes, your foreclosure is not going to happen within a week. So you might want to reconsider, do I rent or do I purchase? There are problems that goes along with purchasing as well. You must understand a contract is a contract. When you're going into purchasing a home, there's so much more that you have to consider. You have to go out and see if a bank will grant you a loan at a decent interest rate. You don't go walking in there saying, look, I just want a loan. Big boy need a loan. Sister girl need a loan. I just need a loan. I don't care if it's a arm adjustable, that's fine. I take that. You know, right now it could be at a 10%, and maybe in 2 years it'll rise up or fall. You have to know that you don't want no adjustable that's going to adjust on you and frequently adjust, and you take an arm and it explodes, and now you've gone from a 10% to a 13 or 14%. You have to understand how that arm and adjustable works. You have to understand about conventional and FHA. At one time, you couldn't get a conventional. It was very difficult. You couldn't put 3% down on a conventional. You had to have at least 5 to 10%, even 20%. Now, conventionals can look like the new FHA loan because they're trying to get you in the home. But you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that most of your programs are going to look a little bit differently. Most of your programs are going to look a little differently because of the fact that you have decided that all of these things that you are doing, ladies and gentlemen, they have to be weighted out and they have to be looked at. You have to be looked at. And I want you to understand that every one of your apartment contracts will not all look the same. And you have to understand that you need an attorney. Now, why do you need an attorney? You need an attorney because an attorney is going to tell you exactly what you need to do. He's going to tell you if you need to come to him, sit down, bring the document, and make a decision on the document as to whether or not you want to agree to all the terms. If the terms are something that you cannot agree to, do not sign the contract. Do not sign the lease agreement until you are sure that you can agree to that. Now, I want you to understand that most of the time when you are in the midst of making a decision about purchasing a home, you have to make sure that the attorney knows that you don't understand something. And you have to tell the attorney, I need you to clarify things for me. Now, if you're going to go and decide to purchase something, you must have an attorney. I do not recommend you getting into a situation without an attorney, because there are avenues that you won't understand. There are avenues that you won't know what to do with. I want you to know clearly that the attorney represents you. He is there to provide for you to make sure you understand what it is you're signing. And if you are signing something, you clearly have to agree to it. And if you don't, do not sign it. And if you sign something that you are not agreeing to, you will find that you will be locked in and you will be obligated to take care of whatever that is you sign. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that purchasing agreements on a house is the same thing. Purchasing a home, you have to sit down, go over the contract, there are aspects of the house for your mortgage so that you can have input on your mortgage. And you must understand that when you go in to get a mortgage, a number of different companies are out there, and you have to know exactly which one you want to go with. And when you decide to get the mortgage, you want to make sure that your mortgage agreement is one that is going to allow you to have a flexible payment plan. If you find that it's an adjustable, it's not what you want, you do not take the mortgage. You continue to look and you scout around. You go online, you look for this information so that you can sit down with this mortgage company and get exactly what you're looking for. In today's time, there are homes that are out there that you can purchase. And you can purchase them off of a list that may be a foreclosure list or pre-foreclosure. You could look at those things and find out what is best for you. But you don't want to jump up and take advantage. You don't want to just jump up and take this because you're thinking, oh, my God, this is the first offer I get. I'm going to take it. No, you don't want to do that. You want to make sure that when you take the right one, it will be the one that you can afford. Now, let me slow down a little bit. Somebody got me all moved up, and they got me worked up here, and I'm trying to slow down this whole caravan. What I want you to understand is that when you're working with foreclosures homes, you're working with a bit of technical things. So you have to have a lawyer to work you through all of the procedures on a foreclosure or pre-foreclosure. But you also have rights. They're HUD rights. And make sure that you understand that you have HUD rights. And your HUD rights will allow you to get a HUD agreement along with your attorney explaining to you what is in that HUD agreement. The FHA's regulations are a lot more stricter, and they go in with a fine-tooth comb to evaluate if the house meets the standards of FHA. So the biggest thing is, what are your rights? You have rights with FHA as well as with a lease agreement, but you have to do them within the boundaries of the criteria. So your attorney will let you know what is going on with this contract, and are you protected? So you have to understand that nowadays, with all of the houses on foreclosure, on tax arrest, you could go to tax sales, you could go to auction sales, but you must have funds to pay readily for the auctions and tax sales. You must have the cash there. Whereas with a home that is up for sale, you must go out and ascertain a mortgage. Now, I'm going to say this. The foreclosures have been, it's been really a difficult thing out there for a lot of people. There's been an effort to keep people in their homes, by trying to save their home from the foreclosure. And there's been a number of different corporations who are loan sharks who buy the property, and then they lease it back to you to prevent from you going into a foreclosure. And there are organizations that also become the bank that can buy the property if you're going into a short sale. What is a short sale? A short sale is something that the bank allows you or agrees under a traditional short sale that you can sell the house at the cost that they assess the house for and do the market analysis for. Anything above that, you must not do. Whatever amount they give you that they will agree to accept. At that particular point on a traditional short sale, the excess amount of that money can be written off. Now, which programs for sure can it be written off in? If it's a HOFA sale, the excess amount that you do not ascertain from the seller of that house can be written off to clear your name. So you're finding a number of different families who are looking at the short sale as a more preferable offer because of the fact that they can clear their names of a bankruptcy and they can clear their name of a foreclosure. And in lieu of, there is also in lieu of the deed of, so that they can ask you to hand the deed back over to them. So there's a lot that's going on out here. The short sales, the HOFA sale, deed in lieu of. The deed in lieu of, at that particular point, it leaves you with an excess amount on your credit. But you turn the keys back over and agree that you won't destroy the house. So leasers, tenors, and people who are owning, you must understand, you can read up on this information to get a better understanding, and you can get an attorney to help you to get a better understanding as to what it is you ought to go and do. In the meantime, remember you have rights. And the reason why I'm saying that currently, there has been a large uproar about certain banks who have sold your mortgages off and sold the mortgages off to the point where now, if you were in a modification, that's another apparatus. You have your short sales, you have your HOFA plans, deed in lieu of, and then you also have the modification, which was the great promise of the recession. Putting you in a modification means helping you to do that adjustable, to either readjust your interest rate and to modify it, to fix it, to freeze it, but it can take somewhere up to 2 years to do in most cases. So what does that happen to your home in the event of a foreclosure? Does it stop a foreclosure? Foreclosures can still proceed, but it slows things down a bit because you're in another litigation. However, you must understand that people have gotten into the modification who have a three-month trial period where they pay an escrow of their taxes, insurance, and sometimes association fee in that modification fee. So their mortgage increases and goes up higher, and a certain portion of that money goes into escrow. And while that money is in escrow, you are waiting out the 3 months that you must consistently pay into this modification to show that you're eligible and their criteria. So during these 3 months, if you're consistently paying on time and you can meet the agreement, then they take the escrow money, go out and pay your taxes, go out and pay your insurance, and possibly pay your homeowners association if you have one. In the meantime, if they up and decide to sell your mortgage to another company, and that mortgage company puts your note in a box somewhere and doesn't know how to find it, what has happened is the lawyers have alerted the tenants to this and told them that they legally have a lawsuit against these banks for taking and selling your mortgage, and they can't produce a note. There's a big uproar on the Capitol with many senators talking about If you can't produce the note, then we don't owe you. Now, is it legal? There are lawyers out there working with tenants in a class action suit just as we speak. You ought to be aware of these programs, and you ought to know if your bank was a part of it. I'm not going to name off banks. You need to go do your homework and your research. And as you go out and research to find out which banks were these that actually had access to notes and they dismantledly lost them conveniently or never got them, so they cannot produce back pay and they cannot produce a piece of paper saying you owe them anything. So the lawyer is now saying, produce a note or they don't pay. It's all over the internet. It's all over the newspaper. And the banks out there know who they are, and you might know who they are. But nevertheless, you might be privy to some of these lawsuits that these attorneys are presenting on behalf of the tenants. There's so much going on that you can't afford not to know what's going on because you are probably engaged in one or the other. Either it's the HOPA program that the government just recently created that you're eligible for, or the modification, or the traditional short sale, or the deed in lieu of, or also the modification where somebody has jerked you around, took your extra escrow money, put it in an account, have not paid your taxes or paid your taxes late, have not paid your insurance, now they've sold your deed to somebody else, putting you in a trick bag, and you're wondering what is going on. And that's just the icing on the cake. Now, for you elder care law, there's another whole apparatus of reverse mortgage that's coming back. Now, I know you said all that was where the government was taking people's houses. They have glamified reverse mortgages. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's not only just reverse mortgage, but it's reverse taxes as well. Some of you elderly people ought to look into it. Based on your age, you do not have to have employment. You do not have to have a credit score. They are not looking for the way you, how timely you pay. They only are interested if you are 62 and older. And preferably if you paid your house off and you have equity in it, and if you can sell the house and get the equity out of it, or if you're in the house that you want to do a reverse mortgage on and you owe no, the house is paid off, then you can have a revolving credit line is what they're offering for the elderly, that they can draw money out of the house. And as long as they live there, they can continue to draw that amount of money out that they're eligible for based on their age. And as they draw that money out, they use that money to pay their taxes with, but it's not due until the death of them or they decide to sell the house. In the meantime, they can also look at doing a reverse mortgage for their taxes. There's a number of programs going on for the elderly, and they really need to look into it because it doesn't make sense for the elderly to be losing their homes at the wise old age of 70 years old or 80 years old. They don't need to be dismantled. So what are you saying, Omi? I'm saying that you're going to have to take some time to look at these programs and to find out how do you best utilize these programs for your families. And don't let the rich people just keep buying up these houses wholesale. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. Because if they're buying these houses wholesale, guess what? When they buy these houses wholesale, you're going to find that it becomes a business for them. And even though the market may be bad now, if they buy them for pennies on a dollar, 9 times out of 10, when the times get better, they can sell them and make a profit. But for those people who are in a fixed income and who can't afford to move and who are being forced out of their homes to move, there's something going on in the United States of America. So what are they going to do with all these houses? And if they got over 70% that have not been listed yet, and are preparing to go on foreclosure, what are they going to do with all these homes? Is this the great migration where they're going to push people out of their homes and you're going to have people moving all over, become migrants all over without a home and become nomads? And then after these people shift their livelihood all over the world, then you're going to be sitting with a massive overload of houses, stockpiling houses when people should be living in them? Is this what's going to happen? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but you need to get on your J-O-B and you need to take some time to go and look at what is happening in your community and in your dwelling. And I want you to understand that OMI is just trying to inform you. You have some rights, and your attorney will tell you what your rights are. You not only have some rights, you have the right to go to a workshop on landlord-tenant workshop, free of charge, in the legal aid department. Go and talk to legal aid. And if you're in a community, you call the legal aid community that serves you. They are paid and a non-profit agency to allow you to come for workshops to inform you. And you need to be informed, ladies and gentlemen. And as you become more informed, you know best how to handle your situation. But do not lay dormant and say that that is for my realtor to know. It takes you to know what's going on in the situation. You're going to have a legal partner, though. Because if you get in a situation where you might need to sue someone, you need to have an attorney to bring a lawsuit. Because you are working independently, you need to know what's going on, so that your lawyer and you can work together. Now, why am I telling you this? I know here in the state of Indiana, which has the largest home ownership by far, Gary, Indiana, by far, the largest home ownership, more people have been shifted out of their homes than ever before. And this is a blue-collar town, not one that is sitting up in Chicago working in the industrial area and with the clerical workers. This is a blue-collar town. So what is the matter? So why are so many people being shifted out of their homes? And why are so many homes being boarded up? You better look into it, people. You better find out from your attorneys what is going on. Why are so many people being dismantled? And why are so many people being sold a bill of goods on their mortgage? And they find out that they're in a balloon payment and they're upside down in their house. Now, that's another avenue where you owe more on the house, because in certain communities, the house has depreciated instead of appreciating. Now, what does that mean, Omi? That means that instead of it building up value and going up in value each year that you've lived there and that you've increased the value of it and added to it, your home has actually gone down in value. So therefore, you may end up owing more on it than what you paid for it. So what do you do then? Are you in an upside-down situation? Yes, you are. It's kind of like buying a car that you have added extra cost to. So if you are in an upside-down situation, it's very difficult for you to sell. So a lot of mortgage companies will allow those candidates to go through and do a short sale to assist them and write off the excess amount that they cannot get the payment for. We've got a terrible situation, and it's one that we can fix. But we got to stay on top of it by writing our legislature, inquiring through our House of Representatives, and staying on top of cases that are going to court so we know what the outcome is in case law. And as you become a pro se investigator, because you got to do this, you got to do it, you got to do it. This is your house you're talking about. And you don't want anyone to take your property away from you. Some of you are living in your birthright right now. Your mom and dad have passed the house down to you, and you're near losing it. I know what I'm talking about. We got some in our own family. and you have to fight for them. You have to go to court. You have to inquire. You cannot just lay down and say, I'm going to play dead, okay? Because every dog has to know how to wag his own tail. So you got to tell a tale. You need to tell it to your lawyer and ask them, when can you start helping me? I can't pay you but $50 a month, but I need you to help assist me. They're waiting for you to call. They're waiting for you to inquire about helping you because you're going to see your life go right before you. If you are tied up in a mortgage where they got you tied up in a modification, you can't move one way or the other. Most people are laughing all the way to the bank saying, this is the time I don't have to pay. It's not about that. It's about you finding out what rights you do have in that modification. So when the house goes in for modification, are they truly going to adjust your mortgage? Or are they going to freeze your existing interest rate? Ask them to give you information. Nobody seems to know anything. And they put you through all these changes about these are the set rules. We want you to pay this amount in your escrow, and all your money goes in escrow, and we're going to pay your taxes. And don't mind if we pay your taxes late because that'll be an additional fee, so we just pull it right out of your mortgage. So you got people handling your money, paying your bills late, and you sitting back getting the latest notice saying the taxes were paid late. So what in the world is going on, Omi? What is going on? And why is it that it's a quiet kept secret? And who did Obama give all this money to bail us out? And if the money was given to Obama to bail us out, why haven't we been bailed out? That's the mystery. That's the $1,000 question, ladies and gentlemen. And you got to continue to seek and search till you find. And the good book says knock, and the door shall be open. That's how you're going to have to find out. Now, Omi's been on this show a little long to talk to you about that, but here's serious business. Stay on top of it. Don't let anyone take your livelihood away. Don't let anyone take your housing away because you got to have somewhere to lay your head. Now we're going to move over to another part of our show that's very important, and I've been telling you about that, is that we have to stop and acknowledge our ancestors. I want to light a candle for my father's spirit, and I say, Ashe, Ashe. I want to light a candle for my mother's spirit, and I say, Ashe. I pour libation to my father's spirit, and I say, Ashe, Ashe. And with my new technology, you can't hear the water splashing. I pour libation to my mother's spirit, and I say, Ashe, Ashe. We do this in honor of our ancestors, and we do this to remind ourselves that we stand on our ancestors' back, and it's not ourselves who has brought us thus far. It's through the backs and the labors of those blue-collar workers and those steel mill workers who went the bat, and they did their due diligence and working to create avenues to have homes and communities for us. And we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, when our families came up from the South, they thought they were coming up to the North to a better lifestyle. If they knew their homes were being taken, they would turn over in their grave. You're going to have to do everything you can to fight to save those pieces of property. Things are going to change, ladies and gentlemen. They will get better by and by. This too shall pass, says the good book. Now, in the Chronicles, according to Garth, I know that legacies of people were built around institutions called homes. But know this, at one time, no one owned property, and the African Americans didn't lay hold on property. But we are going to have to become wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove and understand how property works. According to the Garth Chronicles, and this is only according to Garth, that you must have land and property, and you must sit down and do your estate planning. And don't worry about how much you got. Do your estate planning about your property you own, all of the insurance you own, or deeds that you have. Take some time to go to a workshop and learn how to put this together for your children. Leave an heir, an asset to your children. Black people have been dying and their children having to bury them, and they're leaving their children nothing. You don't want to squander everything and give everything away. You want to put it in a trust. So when you're probate, nothing goes into probate for the state to have to divvy out. It can go back to your family. There's another law and area called probate. And when you get something tied up in probate, ladies and gentlemen, you might not ever get it to your family. So you want to properly understand estate planning. There are tons of workshops that are coming up that you can enroll in and you can go to. These workshops will allow you to understand how your assets can be divided and shared with your family. Now, I had a father that was a working man that worked for the railroad. You notice how much I love the railroad sound. I used to go and wait outside the railroad for my uncle to come home with his lunch pail just to let me know that he had been working hard. And at the sound of the man working on the railroad let me know the supper was always going to be on the table. So I want to tell you something. When you got parents and fathers who are hard workers and they believe in saving a dollar and putting up an escrow for their children, I mean an escrow for the children to have something to reap in their Social Security or an estate plan, I want you to understand that your houses must go into this category. Now, hear me well, African people. When you get ready to run these businesses, I don't care if you're running them at a deficit, incorporate those businesses, preferably an S-Corp if you have to transition from an LLC. But when you're a corporation, let your corporations buy everything. Let it buy everything, your fleet of cars and your homes. That's right. Talk to your lawyer about making the purchase of the home being under the corporation and talk to him about the benefits of having the home under the corporation. But people's homes are being snatched away from them. I wonder would their homes be snatched away as quickly if they were a corporation? Because you can't dissolve a corporation. It must be passed on. So why is it that these houses are being snatched away and being dissolved? You got to get smart, people, and you got to get wise quickly, because we're becoming a permanent underclass as I sit here and speak. And we got to work on becoming a million-dollar corporation and get over the grain house. My intention is not to take another job, but to be a corporation, and to be a corporation where I can lend the opportunity to my family and friends for employment, not to continue to work 8 hours to the sweat of my brows for someone else. If I can help run an institution, I can be an institution. My question to you, and you, and you, and you, and you, when are you going to be an institution? When are you going to be a corporation? When are you going to learn the benefits of being incorporated? What are the benefits, you say, Omi? What are the benefits? The benefits are you can be an employee. And being an employee doesn't mean you own anything. The corporation owns it. Now you go and try and take it from the corporation. And see, don't you have to go through a set of regulations just like any other big institution like Motorola, Northrop, Honeywell? Institutions are for us to be reckoned with. And when you put everything under your institution and your institution is ran with a commodity of an enterprise, then you will be the one that the institution can extend the house to stay in. Now, then can someone run and come and take your house? Can they then shut your house down for non-payment? What can they do to you? Or will they go to that corporation? All of those things you need to set with your attorney and talk about and ask questions about. But you certainly don't need to keep working these small business, getting no benefit from them, and none of the friends benefit. Get with the big boys. People came here from other countries to get a slice of the apple pie. Why are you and I, African-American, not getting a slice of the apple pie? You got foreigners that came here that have never built a brick in this country, and they're getting a slice of the apple pie, the all-American dream, to be an incorporated business. Don't be afraid. When you get your business plan together, you don't just want to be an LLC and a small proprietor independent business, because you end up being a contractor paying a lot of taxes when you can be a corporation. Look at talking to an attorney about incorporating your business. It'll be worth your while. Now, I said a mouthful, and this is coming from the Chronicles of Garth. These are major things you need to look at. And I give you this, ladies and gentlemen, to let you understand that your young children can come and work for you. And there are benefits to hiring your own children, because when they're hired by you, you have benefits for write-offs. And understand that as you have benefits for write-off and your children come to work for you, it can benefit them and you. Try hiring one of your children and becoming incorporated, and then write me back and tell me about it. Most of all, people, the foreclosure deal is no joke. There is a plan going on. And as you know, there should not be this many houses that are up for foreclosure unless somebody did something so terribly wrong. What did the banks do wrong? What did the mortgage companies do wrong? And whose fault is it? Obama tried to give money to bail people out, but where did the problem come from? Is it from the rich? And if it is from the rich, why are they trying to push us down to make us poor? You can't make on me poor. There's no way you can make me poor. I came from royalty. Even my father, who was an illiterate person, was rich. So do you think you're going to take an heir of a king and make her poor? Not in this lifetime. If I have to raise up to make myself rich and to call my resources poor and to command God, that's right, you have a right to command God. God, where are my riches? Where are my royalties? I command you to make me the head and not the tail. I command you to watch over your word. You said that I would be the cornerstone. I would be the cornerstone for the foundation. You said that you would, that I would have good success, God. Now, where is my good success? Command him in the open. I command you now, God. Oludulamore, where are my riches? And where is my prosperity? And why are the houses in my neighborhood being boarded up? And why is my country under siege? God, you need to speak to me. Talk to God in that manner, ladies and gentlemen. He wants you to remind him. Remind him of what he promised you. He didn't say you would be poor. He said you would be rich and you would get over the grain house. And what does Omi mean, getting over the grain house? That means giving the orders, making decisions, and hiring and firing. That's what royalty does. Why do you think I call myself an emperor? The people that know me know that I'm a manager. And wherever I'm at, I rule and I manage. And I'm not an easy taskmaster, because you must work by the sweat of your brows. I've learned that. So after I've worked by the sweat of my brows on me, what am I anticipating? A home and a roof over your head. The basic things God has promised you, and he must give them to you. And you must command him, because you cannot be without a place to stay. Or you cannot be without income and a job. He must give you your inalienable rights. And you must command him this day and remind him. There's some promises in that good book that have been written for you, ladies and gentlemen. And you are to find them. And you are to rest on God and wrestle with God until he blesses you. When you do this, then he will be able to call you friend, because he has confided in you. Don't think that God was intended for us to fear him. God wants to be our friend. He looks to us so that we could tell him things about ourselves. The only way he's going to know experience is through us. He does need us. Don't let anyone tell you that God don't need you. God don't need you. God does need us in order to know experience through. Because one thing he could not do is come here to earth and become that of a man or a human being. That he said he couldn't do. So as we live the life as God lived his life through us and asked us to be obedient, we can also pull God's coattail and remind him of the promises that he made to us. So we are not poor, only in our spirit. We are not homeless, only in our thoughts. And we're not out and about and down and out because we have not, because we haven't asked God for it or we haven't commanded it of him. We command it today that if we being good can give good gifts to our children, God, how much more can you give to us, the Heavenly Father, who we ask? We're asking you to provide homes for those who have lost their houses in foreclosure, for those who have been put out in a rent collector or a bill collector. We're asking you to cover their bills today. The world has been turned upside down by greedy people, we know. Those that are rich are still sitting on high, looking down low. But God, you said, command you me. And if I have to get on any airways and every airways to preach this, I'm going to preach back your word to you. You said, if your word be in me, and if I be in your word, I can ask you what I will. I've been in your word, Father, for a long time. Now I'm asking you what I will for our people. No more of this. Take nothing else from these black people who have endured through the test of time. We have nothing left to give, Father. And you must come down here and part the sky. And you must look upon your children. And those who have been greedy, you must give them what they properly deserve. And to those who've been patient and waiting for you, Father, you must open up those kingdoms that you promised us that you've gone to a mansion in the sky to create. Where are those mansions, God? I look abroad and I don't see them. Are they over in Africa? And if they are, direct us to them quickly, because our time is winding up here and our patience is almost gone. And if you don't have the patience, speak out, people. Call in and let Omi know about it. You don't have the patience. You are tired and you want somebody to step in and make a difference. We're calling on Oladulama Ray. And we are calling Oladulama Ray because we have a right to. He said to call him. He said to spare not and lift up our voices like a trumpet and show the house of Jacob their transgression. There's transgression in the house of Jacob. People should not be at the banks begging for their houses not to go into foreclosure. They should not be at the title company fighting for the deeds to their house. They should not be at the banker asking to have an adjustable rate or a fixed rate. God, you fix it and fix it now, because you promised us that if we would worship you and follow you and look after you and do your will and your deed, that there would be meat in our house, where the houses would meet in them. And why are so many people budgeting and unable to purchase meat? And where is the goods that you left here for us? You said that we would have houses that weren't even built with our own hands, and that the riches of the wicked would be laid up for the just. We're asking you to release that now, all over the land as I speak. Release it, God. Release it. Because there's people that have been begging and on their knees and crying out to you, Father. Have you turned your head against us? Or do we need to cry out a little bit more often? Well, we're crying out on the airways today that you may hear the voice. Call for the moaning woman, they said. Call for the moaning woman that she will get a prayer through. Father, we call in on the moaning woman today, that we want to get a prayer through. A prayer through that you might not turn your head against us, but you will quickly and swiftly smite those who have taken away from the lowliest people, who have been on skid row, struggling, waiting for these organizations who seek all of the blood out of us. They're nothing but vipers, taking everything they can from lowly people who are workers, and then having us to fight and struggle for what belongs to us. You give it back, God, and I mean give it back to these people. There's no way that these houses should be piled up, unlivable. People living outside, looking into their homes, walking by and passing by their communities. It's got to be fixed, and it's got to be fixed now. I command you, God, I command you to fix it. And if there's any women out there that can stand up and pray with me, I'm calling on the moaning women right now, because we can get a prayer through. And we haven't gotten a prayer through because people are afraid to say what's on their heart. This thing is all wrong. The rich can't keep getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer. You've got to even the playing grounds, God, and you got to turn around the situation. Turn them around. You said that he who have heard the good news and know what God wants us to do, to go and turn them. I'm asking you, Lord, to turn them, turn them, turn them, turn them, turn them. I end this broadcast with God turning the situation around. Odabo.